Good morning and welcome. A couple announcements this morning. Today we have the lodge service at 2 o'clock, Friday Bible study at 7 here at the church, and Sunday worship service at 11 o'clock next Sunday. Are there any other announcements?
The camp.
Sign up.
Oh, there's a sign up sheet for the camp church, the church camp out in the back there at Camp Tee People.
For lodging.
Yeah.
There's rooms for, you know, and then there's also cabins.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that will be on the information sheet in the back, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. So if you want a cabin or...
6-7 September.
Okay. Any other announcements? I did. That's why I started with that, because I knew I'd forget. But thanks for reminding me again. Steve will be at the lodge today too. Is there any prayer requests? Okay, Ryan will read the psalm. Tom will say the prayer and bring us the service. We'll begin.
Today's psalm is Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as a protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you on a beautiful sunny day, a day which you've blessed us with sunshine, with hope, with life, with singing of birds, with the growing of crops, with work that has been done, harvest ready to be harvested. We thank you for the rain that you've provided. We thank you for all the means possible to give us what is necessary for us during this season. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the bride of Christ. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us, the grace, the faith, your Son, that Holy Spirit that guides and directs, a job to help in times when they are sometimes dire. You've given us a day that we can rest. Rest our bones, rest our thoughts, rest our actions, and just focus on you, on what you have done for us, what you are doing for us, and what you will do. Father, we are so fortunate to be in your kingdom, sons and daughters in Christ, to have a church where we can worship, to have believers who can uplift us. We understand that the harvest is great, but there are few that are providing for the harvest spiritually. We understand that you are in control of all things, and you are glorified through your Son. And we understand that you will always be with us where we go. Father, we ask that you would look to Gordon and Clara today as they there's a funeral today for Terry, Gordon's mom. Give them strength and encouragement on what it's like to for both of them to not have parents at all. Give them the strength that only comes from you. Give them the direction that only comes from you, so that they can be strong in you. It's very difficult when you realize, as some of us have, that there are no parents left. But you always provide. You always provide a father figure or a mother figure or an older couple in the church to glean wisdom from. You always provide that love through the bride of Christ. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the Prime Minister and his office, and we thank you for all the decisions that have to be made in the country. We ask, Father, that the decisions would be made according to your will and way, and not according to the flesh, the world, and Satan. We ask that you would continue to be involved. Your word clearly says that if my people will cry out to you, you will be with them. And as far as the government goes, we are asking for you to guide every decision, and for the bride of Christ to be involved as much as they can in those decisions and be an influence, a godly influence on those decisions, so that your word will multiply, faith will multiply, and the country will be blessed. Father, we thank you for all things that are godly, and we thank you for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue.
Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus our Lord and Savior be granted unto you through the indwelling Holy Spirit on this day and hour of worship. If we can take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and the text we'll be covering is verses 12 to 19. From the first verse to the 11th verse, it's follow Christ's example in my Bible, and then it's share in Christ's sufferings from 12 on. But before we read the text, I guess one of the things that we tend to look at is who is Peter writing to? Is he writing to everybody? Is he writing to certain people? Is he writing to every Christian? Is he writing to a group of people? So who is he writing to? And if we look at the first chapter of 1 Peter, verses 1 to 4, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Strangers scattered throughout these places. In the next verse, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience of and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This is who he's writing to. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, chosen before the foundation of the world. Through sanctification, set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil, to be in his kingdom, and to be sons and daughters of Christ, unto obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, meaning they've received the blood of Christ, they've received atonement for their sin because they believe in the work of the cross, they believe in Jesus, and they believe in what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do when he comes again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, according to his abundant mercy, had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So blessed are the ones that know that they have a home in the future in heaven. Jesus has secured that through his death on the cross and his resurrection. If you look at chapter 2, the first verse of chapter 2, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So these are the people that have like precious faith, have the imputed righteousness of God through the resurrection of Christ. They have been imputed with the 33 perfect years. So God looks at them as saints because they have received the imputation of the righteousness of God through the work of the cross. So then you look and you say, okay, what does that cause? What's the cause of this? I'm writing to these elect people. Well, Peter had we remember Peter being afraid at a time when Jesus was leaving him, and he cut off the ear of Malchus, and he decided to do things his own way. And Jesus was very patient with Peter and basically said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And Jesus also said to Peter, Satan would like to have you sift you out as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And even when Peter, after he had received the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, and he was confident, powerful, he came to a place where Paul had to rebuke him for preaching that you still need to get circumcised. So Peter knew that there's this influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil that would sway his influence on what is truth. So here he's talking to the elect, the chosen of God, him himself. He's giving them some advice and some warnings. He's also giving them the process of sanctification, whereas what happens to the child once they've been born from above, once they've been taken out of darkness into light, once they've been changed, born again, there's still some struggles. And he's teaching them things. And there's a few things he's bringing up. If you look in the second chapter of 1 Peter, there's a few verses here where Peter is really talking about love. And this is kind of the question we ask ourselves. Do we love each other? It's the 22nd verse. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth in the word, the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Do you love the bride of Christ? Do you love the people who are part of you? Kindred spirits, sons and daughters in Christ, brothers and sisters that are part of the ones that are in the kingdom. You have unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do we have that? Is that in us? Or do we just come to church on Sunday and say that was good and we leave and go home and we didn't even make any contact with the people that are there, the bride of Christ? Do we spend time with them? Or are we concerned with what they are doing and where they're at? When they're mourning, are we mourning? When they're joyful, are we celebrating with them? Is that in our makeup? Well, Peter is saying that, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit, you obey the truth through the power of the Spirit, and you have love for the brethren. Love for one another, and you're pure, you have a pure heart because of what Christ has done and will do. Being born again. Changed, transformed. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is incorruptible? The heart is replaced by a new heart. God has given you a new heart, new desires. The old desires pass away. They're still there, but there's a difference. The old desires you now fight against because they're not godly. You still fall into them, but you fight against them. Before you were born again, you did not. You actually thought it was okay. You propagated them, and you actually promoted them. But you're changed. You're being set apart, predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is part of the call of the chosen. And it says, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. By the word of God, meaning that because of that Holy Spirit that dwells in you, you have the desire to read the word. And if you don't have the desire to read the word, then pray that you would get the desire to read the word. Ask God to help you with this. Ask God to instill with you a desire to read it in season and out of season. And this word of God liveth and abideth forever. So we have in 1 Peter, basically, things that sanctification does. In 2 Peter, we have chapter 1, verses 5, it says, and beside this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, if you've been influenced by the Holy Spirit to add these things to your faith, if these things be within you, not just in you, and abound, meaning people notice that you have these things. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. The Bible says that you are ordained to do good, to produce good fruit, and you are ordained for good works. So you are not barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. that you know Jesus, you know the Holy Spirit, and you understand God. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he had been purged from his old sins. He doesn't even remember that his sins have been taken care of. So these things that the Holy Spirit is influencing you to add on, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you have these things added to your faith, by that Holy Spirit, you shall never fall. That's the promise. So we go to our text here in 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll read it with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit's word will hit the mark. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the same, for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Are you under a fiery trial? If you're a Christian, the answer is yes. You will receive trials. What's a fiery trial? People that are opposed, facing opposition for one's belief. Have you faced opposition because you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Have you experienced loss or grief? Have you experienced physical persecution or verbal persecution? This is what he's speaking about, these fiery trials. A fiery trial is not something to hurt you or harm you. It's because you're Christian. You will be persecuted. If we look in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, there's two blessings there. Verse 10, 5 of Matthew. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before us. Persecution is something that God has signed you up for. And it's to help you. It causes you to look to Him. You look up for when you're going through a trial and you ask for help. And you receive God's grace and mercy. And eventually, when time comes and time comes and time comes, you are at peace with that situation. Because God will grant you peace over that situation. Depending on the trial and depending on how heavy it is, time will heal through that Holy Spirit. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When was Christ's glory revealed to you personally? There was a time when you, in your life, His glory was manifested to you in a way that you hadn't seen before. He was so glorious compared to you. You might have been in a situation where you thought everything was good. Going to church every Sunday. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing things right. But you didn't understand God's glory to a point where you were depraved, lowly, broken, and contrite, because you were clinging on to something that was good that you did. I'm pretty good compared to. I do this compared to. And God got a hold of you and showed you His glory. In Isaiah chapter 6, very familiar place where Isaiah was seeing the glory of God. In the year of that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then he was rebuked for his unclean lips, wasn't he? No. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, very fiery hot, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. He laid it upon my mouth, said, Lo, this had touched my lips, thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. even though you're a man of unclean lips. Oh, what God can do with a man of unclean lips. You see, he was clean after this. But he saw the glory of God. And how does he end that? Also, I heard a voice from the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here I am, send me." Are you a Christian that says, "Send me"? Am I a Christian that says, "Send me"? That's evidence that you are one of the called, the chosen of God. That's evidence that you go, because Isaiah said, "Send me." You look at chapter 7 of Acts. Stephen, the martyr, he saw the glory of God. Fourth verse. When they heard these things, what things did they hear? "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." That's what they heard. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looks up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, Stephen." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen had the attitude of forgiveness. Do we have the attitude of forgiveness? Paul saw the glory of God when he went to paradise. Steve spoke of this last week. And he saw the conviction of where he was at when he saw the bright light in Damascus. That he had to change and take a different direction because what he was doing was wrong. See, God does both. He stops you in your tracks. He makes you blind. And then he shows you where to go. He does all three. If ye be reproached in the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. What are you known for? Are you known for propagating these things? Or are you known for fighting against these things? Are you known for promoting this lifestyle? Murderer, thief, evildoer, busybody in other man's matters, gossiping, talking behind somebody's back? Or are you building up the body of Christ because you love them? Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. What does Paul say? Romans 1. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What are the just? something that doesn't come to mind for somebody that has been sanctified to understand what just is, will not use the term life isn't fair. Life's not supposed to be fair. Life's supposed to be just. Life is just. When somebody does something wrong, they deserve punishment. And we all do things wrong. The just shall live by faith. We do not propagate something that is unjust. The Christian doesn't propagate things that God says is unholy. Marriage is holy. It's between a man and a woman. It's just. It's pure. It's holy. It's not to be changed. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? We judge within the body. Second Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Notice what it says. It doesn't say examine others. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The thought isn't, I know in the heart of hearts that God showed me to do this. That's not the thought. Because the heart is desperately wicked and no one can know it. The thought is to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Do you has the Holy Spirit added virtue? Knowledge. The seven things that are in what 2 Peter said. 2 Peter says in chapter 1, has that been added to your faith so that you can never fall? So you don't doubt? So that you're strong in the faith? We have to examine ourselves. It says, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment, severity. For those who promote sin and promote unholy things, they get the judgment of God. For those that believe in the work of Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross, they receive heaven. The righteous scarcely to be saved means believers will have trials, sufferings, hardships, but are secure in their faith. Because their faith is not dependent on their actions. It's dependent on the author and finisher of their faith. Dependent on the potter who molds the clay. Dependent on him. It's not dependent on us. We already have the desire to do what's right because we have a new heart. Our heart has been changed. We already have a desire and a knowledge to know what's right. Because we're called of God. We're chosen of God. We've been transformed. We've been changed. We have a desire, not the desires of old. And when the desires of old tempt us, we fight against them. And we do not propagate them. Peter saw this. Hebrews 12:2, 1 and 2. We'll close with that. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Not all of you here were raised in a Christian church. Most of you are, but not all of you have been. But this is the promise. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witness. There will be people that God places in your life because you've been called out of wherever you were. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. Maybe you were. But the simple fact is there will be a cloud of witnesses that God puts in your life that pass away, that left a good example, that were part of the kingdom, that influenced you to do what was right, because they were sent, almost like angels, to influence you to change, to move, to take a different direction, to turn, take 180 and go the opposite direction. And the reason this happened was because you were called before the foundation of the world to be part of the kingdom. So you're without excuse. And I can speak for myself, without excuse. Because even though you didn't have a Christian home, God's sending you angels, sending you people that will influence you to do the right things at the right times. And that is a promise from God. You are surrounded, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that are in this book and that are surrounding you to influence your faith, so that you will walk the walk and you will at the end say, I fought a good fight. I have ran the race, my race, because God had all these people around me influencing me. Yes, they died and I grieved when they died because they were such a strong influence on me. But then I was able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be an influence on others because of them. Because you're part of the kingdom. With so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. When you run a race, you're going to run it so that you don't have a bunch of stuff on you. Nothing's weighing you down. The law can be a weight. Legalism's a weight. Do this or don't do that is a weight. Grace is free. Grace is light. You have the favor of God. He's on your side. He's directing you through the Holy Spirit. You are there with him running the race. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, we will sin every day. And we will feel that sin, and it will hurt us because we've not done what we are supposed to do. And if we've sinned another, we will apologize and say, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But you've sinned against God. What did David do? He killed Bathsheba. He killed basically a future father, future husband, so that he was lusting for a woman. And God, through Nathan, what did Nathan say? God has forgiven your sin. He's not hold it to your charge. David received that. So we will receive it also. Because God will ensure that it's either through somebody else or it's through that Holy Spirit that we are secure in the fact that our sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west. He has promised that. And let us run let us run with patience the race that is set before us. When you're running fast and God wants to slow you down, he will slow you down. Because he's saying, I don't want you to go fast in this. And personally, through trials, you usually don't go fast. It's pretty slow. But the beauty and sufferings of trials increases your faith, increases your strength, and increases your confidence in the potter who molds the clay vessel. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again with thankfulness, thankful hearts that your word is so beautiful, and give us the ability throughout the week to magnify your word above your name, like the psalmist says. Father, we ask that you would bless our week. Give us the ability to be ambassadors for you throughout the week, and give us the ability to just do what you ask us to do through that knowledge of that Holy Spirit. And at the same time, give us the ability to look inward so that we can look upward. Because anytime we look inward, we know that we need help. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for the people here. We thank you for the body of Christ, the bride. We thank you for your Son and that Spirit that guides, and that glorious Father who's over all. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 521.